with the gods as our witnesses. Let us pledge that the winner will allow the loser all the proper funeral rituals.
There are no pacts between lions and men.
No, you're a killer!
Sir, yes, sir!
Let me see your war face! Ah! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face! Ah!
Impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart, I want to eat his children.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang. You want to throw sometime? Bang, 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 bang.
Greetings, Fife fans. Here we are once again, another episode of In the Square Circle, this 2016 Memorial Day. But here at the Leave It in the Ring network of David Dueñas, we don't take a rest. We don't take any days off. And we continue with all the news and notes regarding the boxing world here in the Square Circle, the 30-minute or less recap with all your news, notes, and fight results and upcoming calendar. My name is Felipe León, international editor of FightNews.com, also co-host of Boxeo Tijuana TV every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time on the Boxeo TV YouTube channel. It's your boxing show with my partner Renzo Novara in Spanish. Also every other week on the Leave It in the Ring network, I co-host with my friend David Avila and Elena Baby Doll Reed the 2-minute round, which gives you your quick jabs, left hooks, uppercuts, look into the female fight world. But today we are here in the Squared Circle, where we're going to give you a quick recap of what went down this last week in the boxing world. And with that said, let's get started. And here we have the hooks and jabs section, where we give you all the news and notes in the last week in the boxing world. And the PEDs rear their ugly head once again, with Romanian-born, Canada-residing Lucien Boutte coming up positive for Ostarine in his fight against Badu Jack last April 30th for the WBC super middleweight title. Lucien Boutte came out with a statement, which he said, and I quote, "I am surprised and sorry about this. I don't understand what led to this positive result," Boutte said. "I've always passed every anti-doping test that I was asked to take since I won a world title. More recently, for my fight against James DeGale in Quebec City last November, I was tested 8 times from before my training camp until after my fight. I have never taken any illegal products. I have a complete trust in my team. There will be an analysis of the B sample, and I am sure that this result will be negative." So we will wait to see what happens with that B sample. I'm kind of surprised that he says that he's surprised about it. I mean, this Ostarine, maybe Gabriel Montoya, fellow colleague here on the Leave It in the Ring network, can actually educate me how to pronounce it, since I'm not, you know, he's the expert. But, you know, I don't know, man. Unless he has a strength and conditioning coach that is feeding him some stuff that he doesn't know about. But you're a professional. You should know exactly what's going into your body. It doesn't matter who gives it to you. You should ask. You should know what's going on. If you've been using the strength and conditioning coach for a while and, you know, you never tested positive and all of a sudden this guy tries new things, I mean, then you shouldn't trust them. And it's your fault for trusting a person like that. So I don't think that there is any excuse. Hopefully for him, it's a contaminated sample and the B sample will show that it's negative. But we will see, and we will keep you updated on that news regarding Lucien Boutte and his positive result for an illegal substance in his fight, in his last fight, which was April 30th, which he ended up losing against Badu Jack for the WBC super middleweight title. After Alexander Povetkin came up positive himself for an illegal substance some weeks ago in his fight, his mandatory challenge for the WBC heavyweight title against champ Deontay Wilder was postponed, the WBC has approved a voluntary defense for Wilder. Rumor was that the number one candidate for that defense is Chris Arreola, who is also under the PBC / Al Heyman umbrella, although Wilder's team has also contacted Russian Alexander Ustinov for July, while Bermain Stiverne is as well in the running. Those are the three top candidates for Wilder's return. I don't see why Bermain Stiverne is on the list. I think Wilder took care of him pretty easily in their title fight, which Wilder ended up winning and obviously becoming the WBC champ. Chris Arreola, a spent bullet up to this point. Can he? I mean, he'll probably give Wilder a couple of good two or three, four rounds, and then, you know, it all depends how good of a shape he comes in. And then also this Alexander Ustinov, there's a reason why the Wilder team is contacting him. They probably don't see him as a big threat since it is a voluntary defense. Like it was mentioned, they are planning it for July, which is only a couple months away, or maybe a month and a half away. So they have to make a decision pretty quickly to see where they would put the fight and what channel it would be, probably more than likely on Showtime. WBC lightweight world champion Jorge El Niño de Oro Linares has re-signed with Golden Boy Promotions as his United States promoter. The multi-year contract will continue to recognize Linares' relationship with co-promoter Aihiko Honda of Taken Promotions, with both companies teaming up to put Linares in the biggest fights possible. In a statement, Golden Boy Promotions is an elite promoter, and they have treated me well over the years, so there was no question that I was going to re-sign with them, said Linares. We still got work to do in the sport, and I'm confident that we will achieve more great moments together in the future. Jorge Linares is a great boxer, very quick, very technical, very fast, with a lot of talent, but quite honestly, you know, he has come up short in his big fights. Even though he is a WBC lightweight world champion, you know, when it comes to beating that signature fight, he has not gotten it. We remember that huge fight where he lost to Antonio De Marco. He's also been knocked out by Juan Carlos Salgado back in the day. So at lightweight, there isn't really a bunch of big names. I don't know if he has the body to go up to junior lightweight. So he either has to wait for guys to come up to lightweight with bigger names that would make a difference, that would make a point, that would make sense to face him. One guy that just pops up to mind, even though he has stated that he will make his first fight at super lightweight, but I think it would be a good fight between them, and actually pretty good, and I think HBO or somebody like that will be interested in broadcasting it. But why not Mikey Garcia? Mikey Garcia went up from 130 pounds when he stopped fighting back in 2014, and as you know, obviously, since he hasn't been in the gym for a while, well, he's been in the gym, he's been training, but you know, not with the intensity as if he had a upcoming fight. So he mentioned after he was released by Top Rank, finally after 2 years, that he was going to come back in the super lightweight division. But I'm sure that if he worked hard and you know, focus, he will make the lightweight division. So why not take over that division, and a great fight will be for that WBC lightweight title against Jorge El Niño de Oro Linares. I think that would be a big fight, and probably the biggest fight that can be made in that weight class. So let's see what happens. Let's see if that's something that they would consider. Hopefully, if Mikey Garcia, you know, he's been kind of flirting with Mayweather Promotions, and obviously if you go with Mayweather, you go with Al Heyman. He's actually with Al Heyman. That would stop him from possibly facing a Golden Boy fighter, but let's see what happens. And I think that's a great fight. Floyd Mayweather Jr. has released a poster for his proposed fight against Conor McGregor. On the poster, it states live on pay-per-view, but not a date or a venue. It has been rumored the fight will take place first on New Year's Eve on December 31st and then on September 17th, but nothing has been confirmed by either team. In an interview, Conor McGregor did say he was looking for a $100 million purse and that he was in control of the negotiations. So this thing is still has some legs. You know, Floyd Mayweather, I think Floyd Mayweather is just playing the game. He's always played that game. He knows how to, you know, market himself, even though he's been retired since last September. Well, actually, was it last September? 2015, I believe so. His last fight against Andre Berto, he still kept his name in the news. You know, he still kept his name in the news. There's news about him almost every week in the boxing media. So he, I mean, he does something every week. You could almost put your set your clock to it that he's going to come up with something to keep people talking to about him. So let's see what happens with this Conor McGregor fight. I mean, I think it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of ridiculous, to tell you the truth. Roc Nation Sport is getting closer to getting a deal in place for former super middleweight champion Andre Ward to fight his final tune-up bout before facing unified light heavyweight title holder Sergey Kovalev in November on HBO pay-per-view. According to multiple sources with knowledge of the plans, Roc Nation Sports has had the Oracle Arena in Ward's hometown of Oakland on hold on July 30th for the HBO televised fight and is trying to finalize the leading candidate to land the fight with Ward is former light heavyweight titleist Nathan Cleverley of Wales, whom Kovalev crushed in four rounds to win the first world title belt in Wales in 2013. There's been other names that have been mentioned, none of them as big as Nathan Cleverley, so I think that is the best choice for Andre Ward for this tune-up fight. I think it's a pretty good matchup, another light heavyweight test before he faces Sergey Kovalev. I think it's a little better test than a more tried and true test than Sullivan Barrera. Sullivan Barrera was undefeated but hadn't really fought any big names or anybody compared to Andre Ward. Nathan Cleverley he's a former world champion, so I think that would be a good test, not a good test, but a good tune-up fight for Andre Ward to get him ready for a big guy like Sergey Kovalev and that HBO pay-per-view in November. That is the latest news in the boxing world, and so we go to the fight results. First off, on Wednesday, May 25th, from the Diamond Court in Beijing, China, as part of the IBF's convention, 33rd yearly convention, there was a change of the guard in the flyweight division with Filipino John Riel Casimero stopping Amna Ruenrong of Thailand, or Indonesia, one of the two, for the IBF flyweight title. The official time was 2:10. Casimero sent Ruenrong to the canvas twice, the second time and the final time with the great body shot that completely put Ruenrong down. It was a rematch of their June 2015 fight where Ruenrong won a unanimous decision. So Casimero got his revenge. And then now is the IBF flyweight title after also holding the IBF's junior flyweight title back some years ago. On Friday, May 27th, from the Seneca Niagara Resort and Casino in Niagara Falls, Cohen Promotions and Roy Jones Jr. Promotions. Man, these Roy Jones Jr., they're at it again, this time in co-promotion. But this is like their third fight card in a week because they had two last weekend and now they have this one this weekend. And on the CBS Sports Network, heavyweight Gerald Miller stops Nate Guivas in the second round of Schedule 10. Guivas was down twice in the first and twice in the second. Saturday, May 28th, from the Centro de Convenciones in Acapulco, Mexico, Promociones del Pueblo broadcast on Televisa, Marcos Villasana Jr. getting a unanimous decision over former WBC Latino lightweight champion Neris Aguilan. With the win, Villasana Jr. takes over the Latino lightweight title for the WBC. Scores were 118-109 two times and 117-110. From the University of St. LaSalle Coliseum in Bacolod City, Philippines, Ala Promotions brought Danny Nietes stopping Raul Garcia of Mexico in the fifth round of 12 scheduled for the WBO light flyweight title. Garcia was down, I believe, twice in the fourth or fifth round, and he didn't come out for the fifth round, I believe. So Danny Nietes controlling and continuing his reign over Mexican fighters. I think Raul Garcia was the 14th Mexican fighter that Nietes has defeated, and he's in control of the light flyweight division. Also on that card, Milan Melendo got a technical draw, a technical decision in 7 rounds of 10 against late sub Maximino Flores. Melendo suffered a cut, came in nearly 5 pounds heavy for the fight. Scores were 69-64, 68-65, and 67-66. On the same night, Saturday, May 28th, from the SSE Hydro in Glasgow, Scotland, Matchroom Boxing on UK Sky TV, broadcast Ricky Burns stopping in 8 rounds of a scheduled twin, the Italian Michel Di Rocco, for the vacant WBA super lightweight title. This was a history-making fight since Ricky Burns became the first Scottish Scot to win 3 titles in 3 different divisions, now controlling the WBA super lightweight title. So that was a somewhat of historic night out there in Glasgow. Same night from the Hiller River Arena in Glendale, Arizona, Gold Box Promotions on the CBS Sports Network, David Avanazian defended his interim WBA welterweight title against not an overnight old Shane Mosley, because we've probably seen this for a while, but Shane Mosley. Scores were 117-110 two times and 114-113. Avanazian wasn't all that special, but he was a lot younger than Shane Mosley. He is a lot younger than Shane Mosley, and he did what any young man does to an older man, is just apply a lot of pressure and take the older guy into deep waters where Shane Mosley just couldn't keep up. And that way, Avanazian was able to defeat him. Now, they were told that the winner would face the winner of Keith Thurman or Sean Porter. That fight's coming up in June. So Avanazian is only waiting to see who wins that fight, and hopefully he gets the winner of that. Who knows? We'll see what happens. And from the Cowboy Dance Hall in San Antonio, Texas, Leyzabata Promotions with TJB Promotions and Tom Brown Promotions and PBC Al Heyman on the Fox Sports 1. They brought us Miguel Vasquez with the unanimous decision area over Eric Bone. Scores were 99-91, 97-93, and 96-94. And on Sunday, May 29th, it's somewhere in England, I'm sorry. Tony Bellew stopped Ilunga Makabu in the 3rd round of a scheduled 12 for the vacant WBC cruiserweight title. Official time was 1:20. Bellew was down in the first from a straight left hand from the southpaw Makabu. Makabu was down in round 3rd, and the fight was ultimately stopped with the barrage of punches from Bellew. That cruiserweight division has now picked up some steam. Last weekend, last weekend before that, we had 3 different cruiserweight title fights go down. They just all happened to be with the WBA. We had the super champion Lebedev stop the fighter, I think he was from Argentina, in the 2nd round to continue being the super WBA cruiserweight champion. Then we have Junior Dorticos stopping an African from the Congo but living in Paris for the interim title. And then we had Beboot Shumanov winning the normal regular WBA cruiserweight champion title with a stoppage of a fighter by the last name of Wright not this last weekend but the weekend before that. So the cruiserweight division is starting to pick up some steam. Hopefully we start seeing some unification bouts between all these guys. That would be something exciting. So let's see if that happens later on this summer or later on this year. And with that said, we have reached the end of the fight results, and now we go to the upcoming calendar.
Veremos quién es el más macho.
On Friday, June 3rd, from the Velasco Theater in Los Angeles, California, Estrella TV and Golden Boy Promotions present Ronnie Rios against Efraín Esquivias in a 10-rounder at featherweight, while from the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida, Mayweather Promotions on Spike TV gives us Rances Barthelemy defending his IBF lightweight title against Mickey Bay, and Emmanuel Rodriguez defending his WBC Latino and WBA Federal Latin Bantamweight title against Mexican Alberto Metro Guevara. Alberto Guevara is the younger brother of Pedro Guevara, former WBC flyweight champion. From the Resorts World Casino in Queens, New York, DeBella Entertainment on Gold Fight Light TV. Richard Abril, Richard without a D, versus Jerry Belamontes in a 10-rounder at lightweight. While they remember this guy, Judy Foreman versus Jason Davis in an 8-rounder at super welterweight, and Mike Lee versus Mike Snyder in an 8-rounder at light heavyweight. They should call this fight guy this fight card. Remember, the Bella Entertainment presents. Remember this guy? That's the name of the promotion on the promotional fight card. On June 4th, which is Saturday, from the Oasis Hotel in Cancun, Mexico, Promociones del Pueblo on Televisa gives us Andrés El Jaguar Gutierrez versus former champion Cristian Mijares in a 12-rounder for the vacant WBC silver featherweight title. So you're telling me that whoever wins this fight, Andrés Jaguar Gutierrez, who is an up-and-coming fighter, he's been fighting for a while, very young, and Cristian Mijares, whoever wins this fight, is a WBC silver featherweight champion and at one point is a mandatory challenger for Gary Russell Jr. in the WBC. That's hard to believe, my friends. And then from the StubHub Center in Carson, California, on Golden Boy Promotions on HBO, the fight card that we've been waiting for, Francisco Vargas will defend his WBC super featherweight title against former champ Orlando Salido in a 12-rounder. That proves that has all the makings of an all-action fight. We also have Julian Ramirez, El Camarón, versus Abraham Lopez in a 10-rounder in a battle of undefeateds at featherweight. And I'm not sure if they're going to be televising this fight, but we have Gabriel Rosado versus Antonio La Joya Gutierrez of Tijuana in a 10-rounder at middleweight. Supposedly, the winner of this fight will take on Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. So we'll see. We'll see if that happens. And that, my friends, is the upcoming calendar for this week. And with that, clocking in a little bit under 22 minutes is the In the Squared Circle with Felipe León, your 30-minute or less recap of all the boxing news, upcoming calendar, and fight results for the last week. Just to give you a quick rundown of what goes down on the Leave It in the Ring Network on Monday nights at 4 p.m. Pacific time, we have the next round with Steve Kibbe and Gabriel Montoya, the first guys of the network to take a stab of what went down in the weekend. They take all your calls and discuss and give you the rear view and the upcoming view of all the fights that are happening last week and this week. On Tuesdays, you have this show, In the Square Circle with Felipe León, your 30-minute or less boxing recap. On Wednesday nights, we have the flagship show at 6 p.m. Pacific time with our leader, our fearless leader, David Dueñas, and a revolving door of co-hosts, including Gabriel Montoya, myself, Felipe León, and a couple others. Every other Thursday, we have the two-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world with co-host David Avila, Elena Baby Doll Reed, and myself, Felipe León. And then also we are anticipating with bated breath the return of the technical draw with Lenny the Fightsmith. Hopefully he gets somebody to interview quite soon, and hopefully it is as exciting and as fireworks filled as his first and only interview on the technical draw with Lou DiBella. Thank you, my friends, for listening to another edition of In the Squared Circle. Hopefully you got all the information that you needed, and we'll be here next week.